right, everyone, buckle up. Today we're diving into the world of 18th and 19th century, smuggling in Old Saltburn.
We've got a real treasure trove of sources for this deep dive. Historical accounts, local legends, even a song or two.
A song? Okay, I'm intrigued. But first things first, set the scene for us. Why smuggling? Why Old Saltburn? Why this particular era?
Well, it all boils down to economics, really. Think sky-high taxes on everyday goods, tea, tobacco, even textiles.
So basically, the government was making it impossible for people to afford basic necessities.
Pretty much. And that's where our smuggling friends come in. See, these high taxes created a massive black market, making smuggling incredibly profitable.
So regular folks were tempted to become smugglers just to make ends meet.
Exactly. Especially in a place like Old Saltburn. The geography, with those towering cliffs and hidden coves, it was practically designed for smuggling.
Like something out of a movie, secret handoffs under the cover of darkness, right?
You've got it. And let's not forget the dense woodlands, perfect for stashing contraband. There are even whispers of secret passageways and tunnels crisscrossing the area.
Wow, talk about a smuggler's paradise, but let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What did a typical smuggling operation look like?
Well, imagine this. A moonless night.
Yeah.
Waves crashing against the cliffs.
Okay, I can hear the seagulls already. Go on.
A ship emerges from the mist, its hold packed with contraband tea, brandy, silks, you name it.
And these goods were brought in by?
Well-organized gangs, of course. They knew the coastline like the back of their hands.
So what happened next? Did they just sail right into the harbor?
Of course not. That'd be suicide. They used small boats, rowed ashore, sometimes even waded through the surf to unload their cargo.
Talk about a dedicated delivery service. But it wasn't all just sneaking around in the dead of night. These smugglers were clever, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Like, there's this one story about an old woman who hid a whole keg of brandy under her skirts while customs officers searched her home.
You've got to be kidding. That's incredible. But it sounds risky. What happened if they were caught?
Let's just say the penalties were nothing to scoff at. Hefty fines, imprisonment. And it wasn't just the smugglers who suffered.
Their families, too.
Oh, absolutely. It was a huge risk for everyone involved. And it wasn't just about the economic fallout, either. Smugglers could get pretty rough when threatened.
Really? I always pictured them as more Robin Hood types.
Well, there was definitely an element of that, especially in how the local community saw them. But make no mistake, this was dangerous business. They sent death threats to customs officials, for goodness sake.
No kidding. So it wasn't all fun and games then?
No, not at all. Things could get very real very quickly. But despite the risks, smuggling was deeply ingrained in the fabric of Old Saltburn. And to really understand how, we need to look at the key players, starting with a man known as the King of the Smugglers, John Andrew.
A king, you say? Now, that sounds like someone I want to know more about. Tell me more about John Andrew.
Well, get this. He was a respected businessman, a master mason.
Wait, hold on. Respected businessman by day, smuggling kingpin by night. That's quite the double life.
Right. He was a master of deception, that one. John Andrew ran his smuggling operation from two local establishments, the Ship Inn and the White House. Legend has it he even had a secret cellar guarded by a particularly vicious mare.
Okay, now I've got this image of a gruff old smuggler and his trusty, albeit slightly terrifying, steed. But with all this supposed respectability, how did he manage to evade the law for so long?
Well, there's this incredible story about his near capture at Blackhall. It involves a daring escape and a very conveniently timed low tide.
Okay, you can't just drop a teaser like that. We need details. What happened at Blackhall?
All right. Picture this.
Wait, before we get to that, what about the other smugglers? Was John Andrew a solo act or did he have a crew?
Oh, he wasn't alone. There was another group making waves, the Saltburn Gang, led by the infamous Blackjack Thompson and a character known only as Gentleman George.
Blackjack and Gentleman George. Those nicknames sound like they're straight out of a penny dreadful. What were they known for?
They were legendary for their knowledge of the coastline, those two. Navigating those treacherous cliffs and hidden coves, even in the pitch black.
Sounds like these guys were practically superhuman. But even with all that skill, they must have had help. Did they operate alone, or was there support from the community?
Now that's where things get really interesting. You see, smuggling wasn't just a job in Old Saltburn, it was a way of life.
Are you saying people were willing to risk getting into illegal hot water to help these smugglers? Why?
Think about it. Imagine you're a shopkeeper, struggling to stock your shelves because of those exorbitant taxes. Then a smuggler comes along, offering you those same goods at a fraction of the price.
Okay, I can see the appeal, especially if it meant putting food on the table, so it wasn't seen as a crime, more like sticking it to the man.
Exactly. They were seen as heroes by many, fighting back against an unjust system. Plus, smuggling brought money into the community, created jobs. It was a form of economic rebellion, really.
Wow, this is blowing my mind. I had no idea smuggling was so complex. It's about community, survival, even a sense of justice. This is incredible.
And the connection between smugglers and the community is perfectly illustrated by an anecdote from your own family history.
Hold on, what? My family was mixed up in all this.
Not directly, but remember John Andrew, the king of smugglers.
How can I forget? The man with the secret cellar and the intimidating horse?
Well, his granddaughter married into the Farndale family.
And Martin Farndale is?
Your great-great-grandfather.
You're kidding. So I'm related to the king of smugglers. That's wild. What else are we talking about here?
Well, it seems your grandfather, Johnny Farndale, was quite familiar with smugglers. He'd hear tales of their exploits, particularly in Skinning Grove, a real hotbed for smuggling. He even witnessed the commotion when a gin ship arrived.
A gin ship? Now that has a nice ring to it. But wait, did my grandfather ever actually meet John Andrew?
He did. It seems they crossed paths indeed. John Andrew and a couple of other prominent figures, they used a ship called the Morgan Rattler to bring in all sorts of goodies. Wine, brandy, even fine silks and lace.
The Morgan Rattler, eh? What a name. Sounds like something straight out of a pirate tale. But hold on, how does my grandfather fit into all of this?
Well, these smugglers, they needed a way to move their goods inland, right? So they relied on a network of contacts and safe houses. And one of those contacts, a farmer by the name of John Garbutt, your great-great-great-grandfather.
Wait, John Garbutt, that name rings a bell. He was involved in all this.
Oh, he was in the thick of it. They'd transport the goods along a specific route leading to a place called, get this, the Sign of the Withered Tree.
The Sign of the Withered Tree? That sounds ominous. Was that some kind of secret smuggler's den hidden in plain sight?
You could say that. It was a popular tavern for drovers, you see. And a very convenient spot to, shall we say, store certain goods.
So what did they do with all that smuggled loot? Did they just sell it out the back door between pints of ale?
Some of it, like those fancy silks and laces, they made their way to York. Imagine that high society ladies swanning about in dresses made from smuggled goods.
That's incredible. Talk about a hidden history. But with all these family ties to this smuggling ring, I have to ask, did my grandfather ever get into any trouble?
Well, let's just say he wasn't opposed to enjoying the fruits of their labor. Remember those bottles of smuggled gin we talked about?
Oh, how could I forget? A Farndale family tradition, or so I've heard.
Well, it seems your grandfather and a local squire, they had this little arrangement, a rather informal way of settling debts. They'd crack open a bottle of that illicit gin and call it even.
Even the gentry had a taste for the good stuff, eh? I love it. But this smuggling saga couldn't last forever, could it? The authorities must have caught on eventually.
Ah, you're right. The golden age of smuggling in Old Saltburn was bound to end. And as the government started tightening its grip, the smugglers faced a new adversary.
Ooh, this sounds juicy. Did they bring in a super sleuth to crack the case? Was it Sherlock Holmes?
Not quite Sherlock Holmes. But close. Remember how the Napoleonic Wars had just ended?
Yeah, go on.
Well, the government suddenly had all these skilled sailors out of work. So what do?
Don't tell me.
They deployed those sailors as Coast Guards. Can you believe it? In 1822, these former sailors, who knew the seas like the backs of their hands, became the bane of every smuggler's existence.
Talk about adding insult to injury. That must have thrown a wrench in the smuggler's plans.
It did. It was a game changer. Suddenly, they weren't just dealing with a few easily bribed customs officials. The Coast Guard was a whole different story. The risks were higher, and for many, the rewards just weren't worth it anymore.
So what became of those old Saltburn smugglers? Did they just vanish into thin air?
Some might have sailed off to find new opportunities, perhaps seeking out more lenient shores. Others probably found new ways to make a living, maybe going legit. And some, well, let's just say not every story is a happy ending.
It's a bittersweet end to a thrilling chapter in Old Saltburn's history.
And yet, their legacy lingers on. Those tales, passed down through generations, they're still alive in the very air of Old Saltburn.
I can almost hear those smugglers whispering on the wind. It makes you wonder, are there any traces of this hidden world left? Any physical reminders?
Well, for starters, the Ship Inn, John Andrew's old stomping ground, it's still standing. Who knows what secrets those walls hold, and what lies buried beneath those cobblestone streets hidden in plain sight?
This is why I love a good deep dive. It's not just about unearthing the past, it's about connecting with it, almost feeling like you were there.
Yeah.
And it certainly makes you see those places with new eyes.
Exactly. And that's where you, our listeners, come in.
It really makes you think, what if we're practically tripping over hidden history every day? What if our own towns have these incredible stories just waiting to be dug up?
What if indeed? Maybe there's a pub you frequent with a secret cellar just below your feet, or a seemingly ordinary house on your street with a hidden tunnel leading out to who knows where.
You've got me wanting to grab a shovel and start digging. Seriously, this deep dive has been incredible. It's amazing how much history is hidden in plain sight if you just know where to look.
That's the beauty of history, isn't it? It's a never-ending puzzle, full of surprises and unexpected connections. The more you uncover, the more you realize how much is still out there waiting to be discovered.
We've gone from high taxes and hidden coves to secret cellars and smuggled silk dresses, all sprinkled with a dash of family intrigue. I need a stiff drink after all that. Maybe something with a little historical significance.
I'll raise a glass to that. But before you go raiding your liquor cabinet, let's leave our listeners with one final thought. We've explored the who, the how, and the why of smuggling in Old Saltburn. But what does it all mean in the grand scheme of things? How did this wild era, this hidden history, shape the very fabric of Old Saltburn? Did it leave behind a certain spirit?
A legacy of daring and a touch of mischief woven into the town's identity.
Precisely. So next time you're wandering around your hometown, take a closer look. You never know what whispers of the past might be echoing through the streets.
Truer words have never been spoken. Well, folks, on that note, we'll leave you to ponder the mysteries of the past. Who knows? Maybe you'll uncover a few of your own. Until next time, happy exploring.